Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you. Thank you so much, Lord, from the worship to the word. Thank you for being with us. Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us and leading and guiding us, reminding us during worship, God, that you've always been there, that you are faithful, God, that we can trust you, that the Lord God Almighty reigns. In the midst of everything we're going through, God, you're still on the throne. Nothing's caught you by surprise, God. You're working it together for our good. Even though we can't see it, God, you're working it out for our good. So we thank you in advance and we bless you as you work out the details and we trust you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying and decaying world. God, we need you today more than ever. Speak to us through your word. Challenge us, convict us, change us. May it lead to a transformed life, Lord. The power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to your body this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we are going through chapter 10, it's a lot of moving parts in chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. Two main characters are Peter and Cornelius. So I want you to make a note, those of you that take notes, and I would recommend, hey, you all should keep a notepad and a pen by your bed because God speaks at all times. Amen? Amen? And before I would do that, I would wake up and God would give me things or speak certain things to me, and I say, I'll write it down when I get up. Then when I get up, guess what? Couldn't remember what. Oh, what did I knew I should have wrote it down. So keep a pen and pad by your bed because God is always speaking in each and every situation. As I show you every week, I have notes on my notes. Amen. So for those of you that are taking notes, so we get into chapter 10, it's talking about the providence of God, the power of God, the plan of God, and the purpose of God. So we're going to see providence in this. Providence, we're going to see the providence. It's the pro video, the before video. It's the God sees what's coming even before we see it. It's the providence, the power, the plan, and the purpose of God. As we celebrate communion, let me say this regarding communion. God knew that there would be wars and rumors of wars, deaths and marriage, divorce, births, problems, issues, situations, elections, debates, and other circumstances, bills and kids and spouses and bosses and business and employees and employers. He said, do this in remembrance of me to keep a biblical worldview of all that happens in your life. God knew all this would be going on. That's why he said, pause and take communion. Never forget what Jesus Christ has done for us. I love communion. I love God for that. Because, you know, this world can be overwhelming sometimes. Stuff can overwhelm you. God says, pause. Remember that I paid a price so that you can be free. A physical price, and my blood was shed to cover your sins. Pause. And when you remember that, you know what? I can make it. There's hope. We never lose hope because we take communion and we keep life in a biblical worldview. So when we pick up the story, we'll pick it up 10 and 25. I'll read 25 through 27. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up and said, man, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. So we see the providence of God in this particular chapter. Cornelius had been praying and fasting for 4 days. God gave him a vision to pray and fast. While he was praying, God was giving Peter a vision on what was clean and what was unclean. Okay, Peter's a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. They have nothing to do with each other. It's yeah, you call it what it is, sort of like racism back then. Have nothing to do with each other. Peter's having a vision where he wants to eat something that would be considered unclean. But God told him, get up and kill it. Don't you call unclean what I have called clean. Showed him three times. And so then Peter, he's thinking about this. And let's pick it up. Let's go take a quick look at that. 10 and 19. 10 and 19. And JL, I'm all over the place, so just kind of stick with me. If you're there, say amen. So Peter saw the vision, and while Peter thought on this vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. All right, so make a note. Pause right there. Cornelius is praying. While he's praying, God is moving. While he's praying, God is talking to Peter. And so he says, go let them in because I go and see them because I have sent them. So make a note, family. I mean, it's the power of prayer is incredible. We've been talking about the complaining and murmuring and all that in the wilderness. But God is calling us to pray. And while we're praying, God is working on somebody's heart and can do more than a complaint or a letter. Or I'm going to wait till I tell them, give them a piece of my mind. It could do more than any of that could ever do. So here we are. We have Cornelius is praying and fasting and God is moving. We have the seven essentials of God. And the first essential is that God is always up to something good concerning you and I. There are seven essentials of God. And the first one is that God is always up to something good concerning you and I. Bless you. So while Cornelius is praying, God is speaking to Peter. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee in his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter's going to Cornelius' house, and some of the other Jews are coming with him. Verse 24. And tomorrow, the next day after they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. So make a note in verse 24, Cornelius calls his family over because the word of God, the man of God, the word of God is coming to speak. I would suggest for you all that you should invite your friends and family to church for the word of God and for whoever stands in this pulpit to share the word of God. He could have just said, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and see what he has to say. But he called together in the Greek translation for kinsmen. He called together his relatives and his close friends. So they could hear the word of God. Invite somebody to church, especially if you believe in your church. Unfortunately, I was at a church one time and things were just kind of not too good. And I would be embarrassed to invite somebody to come in all that drama. Somebody say amen. But if you're at a good place, please invite somebody. So they can hear the word of God. And then God works out the rest. So here we go. Make a note that God spoke to Peter three times. Cornelius sent three men, and we know that in biblical numerology that three represents completion. Amen. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Jesus Christ resurrected after the... Jesus prayed three times in the Garden of Gethsemane. During the transfiguration, it was Jesus, it was Moses, it was Elijah, and he brought with him James, Peter, and John. So the number three represents completion. It's used over 460, it's used 467 times in the Bible, the number three. So God does nothing. It's the providence of God. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is on purpose. So here we have, we pick it up in verse 25. So Peter's coming in and Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. And Peter stopped him right there. Make a note that you appreciate people, but you only worship God. Somebody say amen. And Peter was smart enough not to take that glory for himself, because we know Herod's going to get ready to die for trying to take some glory that should have went to God. We can appreciate our pastor. We can appreciate each other. We can appreciate our boss. We can appreciate athletes and entertainers, but you don't worship anybody but God. Peter had enough sense to say, look, I'm a man just like you. And we all know that we're all flawed. Somebody say amen. Keeps us humble. Peter snatched him up. said he snatched. Dude, we're not going to even play that game. Get up. No, we don't play that. Snatched him up. Stand up. I myself also am a man. Verse 26. Verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were coming together. Somebody say amen. This kind of speaks to the fact that Cornelius wasn't a believer. I mean, he was a believer, but he didn't know Christ. He didn't know the work that Christ had done. But he had a relationship with God. And so God sends Peter so that he can find out the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Because as you're talking to people about Jesus, and you know how people want to try and deflect from themselves and say, well, what about the people in China that's never heard about God? But that, number one, that would imply that God's not fair, and we know that God is fair. Like God's out to get us. Now, we know that's too easy. Anybody ever been in a car accident? Amen. If God wanted to get us, no way. That's too easy. But it shows that some kind of way that God can speak to someone and have a relationship with them. And it might, and then they're waiting for you to come and introduce Jesus Christ to take them all the way to salvation. The word also says that Christ isn't coming. Christ said he's not coming back until the whole world hears about Jesus Christ. So, but people say, you know, they want to deflect. So I don't want to change my life. But, you know, probably when somebody ministers to that old whoever it is out in the middle of nowhere, they probably say, well, what about the people in America that's just living, doing all kind of crazy stuff? He probably trying to figure out about us. We trying to figure out about him. Well, you should be in America. They're the ones that's living wild and crazy and all that. No, I want to talk to you right now. So everybody's deflecting. But Christ said he's not going to come back until the whole gospel was preached to the whole world. And 100 years ago, people like that, how could that happen? But now, with smartphones and the internet, it'll be hard pressed to find someone that hasn't heard about Jesus Christ. So some kind of way God speaks to his heart and had a relationship with him. And then the gospel's preached and he's getting ready to get saved. And all those that he invited to his house. It's the power of God. The providence of God is that God set it all up. All Cornelius had to do was be obedient and to look for God. The word says that God has already written his law into our heart. So we know that God is there. We just don't serve him or invite him to live through us. Verse 28. And he said unto him, you know that it is unlawful. It's against the law for a man that is a Jew to keep company or even to come unto one other nation, to another nation. But God. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Make a note, it's nothing common or unclean about you and I. Satan would want to make you think that you're just that you're common and unclean. God said, not so. God created us. God wants us to become a child of God, but there's nothing common or unclean about us. This just blows all the racism and discrimination out the window. And he said unto them, you know that it's against the law for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto another nation, but God, underline, but God. Shows that the church has to step up and be against any type of discrimination. Anybody can be saved. This is what he's saying right here. It, once it was just for the Jews, but now anybody can be saved. Christ said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. So make a note. God doesn't discriminate against us. We discriminate against God. And as the enemy would have it, try and make it seem like Christians are narrow-minded and hate speech and bigots because they don't stand for certain things that society says is okay. As if we discriminate, we just stand on the word of God. God does not discriminate. God said, it's nothing common or unclean about you all. You can be saved. You can become a new creation in Christ, and you can be born again. If you choose to. Make a note, God's not the one who discriminates. And look what Peter said. Therefore, I came to you without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked, therefore, what intent or what do you want from me? Underline immediate obedience. Peter said, I came soon as I was sent for, but I don't even know why I came. God will tell you to go somewhere and won't even tell you why till you get there. Family, we have to be dialed in so we understand when God is saying go, if it's the enemy telling us to go or if it's our flesh telling us to go. Because God will send you somewhere like he did Peter and won't tell you until you get there. But we know it's for ministry purposes. We know it should line up with the word of God. You know, we blame a lot of stuff on God that's not God. Somebody say amen. But we see here, Peter said, I know it was God. God showed me, so I came, but I don't even know what you all want. Verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Can't say I've been fasting. And in the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Cornelius said, I've been praying and fasting. J.O., flash, go to Mark 9, 28 and 29. Family, and I've shared this with you before, I'm going to share it again because the power of praying and fasting is incredible. Mark 9, 28 and 29. This is when Jesus had just healed the man's son. He was coming to the house. His disciples asked him privately. So make a note. You should have some private time in your house with Jesus. It would change your life. Why could we not cast him out? Mark 9, 29 is a scripture that changed my life. And he said unto them, this kind, this thing you're dealing with can come forth by nothing but by praying and fasting. Cornelius said, I was praying and fasting for 4 days. And then God, make a note, God responds to praying and fasting. Now, I've challenged you all before. And so I was talking with another group of men that I associate with, and they say, Pastor, we're going on a let me get the date. I don't know how many days it was. I think it was a 14-day Daniel fast. And they said, Pastor, could you participate with us? I said, well, you know, we kind of do it differently at South Bay Abundant Life Church. We do a 365-day a year every morning fast. Because I got to stay connected to God every day. So family, you have to understand the power that comes from praying and fasting that we tap into it before you have your first meal of the day, which is called what? And you break it into two words that stands for? You break your fast because you've been fasting all night. So I'm saying, make a note of this, please. You write down Acts 10:30 and Mark 9:29. And every morning before you start your day, you just spend a little bit of time with God. And you say, Lord, I'm dealing with a lot. And I know some things only come but by praying and fasting. Chris, you got your phone? Chris, put 60 seconds on there. Let's see how this works for 60 seconds. And you got to tell me when they're up. You can't start, though, Chris. Have you started yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't, Chris. Please, Chris.
All right. Ready?
Tell me when to go. Lord, I thank you, number one, for waking me up this morning, God, for allowing me to see another day. And God, while I'm praying and fasting before I have my first meal, I want to pray for my kids and my wife. I want to pray for my job. I want to pray for my boss at work, Lord. Touch and soften that heart, God. Been dealing with a lot there, but I know that you can move. While I'm praying, I know that you're moving. So, God, I also want to pray for wisdom today. I want to pray for the favor of God on my life today. Everywhere I go, God, be with me. Give me wisdom. Give me favor. Give me strength to endure, God. Holy Spirit, lead and guide me today that I might glorify you in all that I do and all that I say. And I'm calling on Mark 9:29 and Acts 10:30. And I'm praying and fasting on the authority of Scripture, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How much time, Chris? I have 5 seconds left. That's 60 seconds, family. Change my life. 60 seconds can change your life. We have the opportunity and the ability to tap into the power praying and fasting every morning before we have our first meal. Because this kind, this stuff you're dealing with in 2019, in March, 20, this kind, you can't deal with it without praying and fasting. Somebody say amen. This stuff we're dealing with now, all this confusion out there trying to keep our minds stayed on Christ, we can't deal with it. It's only some things. He said, why couldn't we? And remember, they asked him privately, and all the crowd was gone. Get your private time with God, I'm telling you. They asked me, 14-day fast. Man, I'm fasting every morning. I'm not. 14 days come and go. I need God every morning. And it's not a religious thing. It's a God, I need you before my life falls apart thing. God, I need you because I can't afford to go backwards thing. What we say, Jerry, forward in faith or backwards in bondage. God, I'm praying and fasting because I need to go forward in faith and not backwards to bondage. All right, let's get back to Acts. So you're praying and fasting. You see that they were praying and fasting. Cornelius was praying and fasting, and God was moving. So just make a note. Don't give up on people. I know we got some family members and some kids, and you know we have our grown kids and adult children, the oxymoron. But we need to be praying and fasting. Don't give up on them. Don't give up. God's moving. I love God for moving. All right, so let's go back to verse 30. 10 and 30, JL, family. Cornelius said, for 4 days, like 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Make a note, that man was an angel. And said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your offerings have come before God. Make a note. We should be praying. So he didn't know about Christ. He was just connected to God. So God is sending. So make a note. God responds to praying and fasting. We see that. He tells him, your prayer's heard. Somebody say amen. I mean, that's like the best news you could ever. That God, actually the creator of all, the true and living God who created everything, hears your prayers. Then make a note. And he says he sees your giving. He sees our sacrifice. Our sacrifice and our giving. So I have a read this right here. It says, your prayer has been heard and your charitable gifts have been seen and remembered by God. God sees our sacrifice and giving. God, I love you and I'm trying to trust you. We give a tithe and an offering. Tithe is 10% of our increase and an offering is anything above that. Word said God loves a cheerful giver. Some kind of way it says, make a note, if God didn't give us the ability and the strength to go to work or to go to school or the mindset to start a business, we couldn't do anything. Some people are disabled to the point where they can't be gainfully employed. And we go to work and forget that it's God who that gives us the ability to do all that we do. So we say, God, we love you, but God, I don't trust you with my money. I'm not going to give. God, although you know everything when it comes to my money that you have allowed me to earn, and I'm smarter than God. God's very practical. It's deep, but it's not complicated. And here's the revelation. We make life complicated when we don't trust God 100%. So if you give your tithe is 10% of what you make, and the offering is above that. If you're not giving 10%, you're still working on the tithe. The offering comes above that. And God loves a cheerful giver. But he says right here, God sees it. Remember, it's not about the amount. Because we could go to Luke 21, which is one of my favorite scriptures, where Jesus is watching, because God's always watching. Just like he said, God, I've seen what you've been doing. These guys are throwing in all their money, and the lady drops in two mites. And Jesus says, she gave more than they did. So it's never about the money. It's just the obedience. These guys are trying to floss. Their heart is in the wrong place, and her heart's in the right place. And she gave everything that she had, and she trusted God with it. It was a matter of trust. So we'll never play games for money, because that's not how we get down. Never games, tricks, or gimmicks. Been in a church where they do shoe offerings. They tell you the amount you paid for your last pair of shoes, that's what you need to give today. And they got prayer cloths and holy dust. Hey, family, hey, we got to keep it real. So when you go out there and you see all these games being played, you know, that's not scripture. God says you give as you've been blessed. And then that's between you and God. But God says, let me read it again. Verse 31, your prayer has been heard and your alms or your offerings have been seen by God. So this is him, Cornelius telling Peter what happened. Verse 32, send therefore to Joppa and call here Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, whom when he comes shall speak unto you. Immediately, underline verse 33, immediately. We got immediate obedience on Peter's part and on Cornelius' part. Immediate obedience. He said, I did it right away because I was praying and fasting and God spoke and I did what God said. If you're going off to do something that you haven't prayed and fasted about it, then you need to stop and pause and wait till God speaks, because you're not really sure. And then you should have someone that you can trust who's spiritually mature that you can call or you can talk and say, hey, look, I'm thinking about this. I need you to pray and fast about it to confirm that what God is saying. Somebody say amen. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that you have come. Now, therefore, are we all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Oh, my gosh. What a setup. Family, make a note again. While you're praying, God is answering. In the book of Isaiah, it says, before we call, he will answer. And while we're yet speaking, he will hear. Your praying is not in vain. Your fasting is not in vain. We have to trust God 100%. All right, so here we go. Man, I love this. Verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive, I've discerned that God is no respecter of persons. Make a note of that. God doesn't care how big our bank account it is, how small it is, where we come from, where we didn't come from, what we did, what we did. God could care less what your title is, what your title isn't. God is not a respecter of persons. Everybody's going to have to stand before God. It's the great equalizer. You're not going to impress. We're not going to impress God with anything. We're not. Of a truth, I perceive, verse 34, that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that respects the awesomeness of God and works righteousness is accepted of him. Everyone that respects the awesomeness of God and is righteous through Jesus Christ is accepted unto him. That's what he's saying. The word which the Lord, which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, underline that Jesus is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published or declared throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism, which John preached. Verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Make a note, oppression comes from Satan. Sometimes we want to get mad at people for the oppressive systems that are set up. We see them all around us. But we make a note in the scripture, says oppression comes from Satan. So that's a part of spiritual warfare. You don't have to get upset with somebody because of the way they look. I mean, Satan will use anybody he can to oppress whoever he can. And if we don't understand that it's not flesh and blood that we're wrestling against, we're upset with people. And God, we already saw God's not a respecter of person. God said nobody's common or unclean, so God doesn't deal with racism or discrimination. We do. We get caught up in it and we get bound by it. But it's not biblical. The oppressive systems are set up by Satan. We get caught in them. We go around hating people. We never share the gospel because I'm not going to talk to them because I don't like the way they look, or they look like this, or they look like that. And it's sort of like a black eye on the church as well, because during the racism and the slavery and all that, the church should have stepped up and said, wait a minute. They should have went right to verse 28. And he said unto them, you know that it is against the law that a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And the church should have took a stand and ended that foolishness. But they took a back seat and Satan just ran rampant. God doesn't discriminate. Oppression comes from Satan. And it shows in many different forms and fashions. We got to be aware of that. We'll walk around and we'll be hating people. Why do you think God said we got to pray for our enemies and bless those that despitefully use and persecute us? You know why? Let me make it as plain as I can, family. As I was putting this together, I was trying to think of somebody that I hate so much that if I had the opportunity to share the gospel with them, I wouldn't, because I would say they need to go to hell. And I couldn't think of anybody. Nobody. When you think about that eternal lake of fire and eternal torment, Is there anybody who you say, I don't even want to ask y'all because y'all might go, yeah, Pastor. Pastor, you better than me because they need to go there. I couldn't think of anybody who I would want that. That's why Christ said you got to pray for them. That God would, before they die, God touched their heart, that they would get saved, because it's going to be a bad day forever. I couldn't think of anybody I would say. It's not like, and you all know that we deserve that until Christ stepped in and saved us. So for me to say that they deserve it and I don't, come on, really? All right, let me finish this up. Verse 38, at the end it says, God was with him. Verse 39, and we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hang on a tree. Now we get the gospel. Now Peter's breaking down the gospel, telling how Jesus Christ saved their life. You know about God, but let me tell you how to get saved. Let me tell you how God sent Christ to die for your sins. And as we take communion this morning, it all ties together. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Christ had to die so we could live. I mean, I just love the gospel right here. Let me read it again. Verse 39. And we are his witness of all things which he did. And Peter was with him. Remember, look how Peter's boldly speaking. Remember, they were asking Peter right after he got killed, after Christ was crucified, wasn't you with him? And he cussed out the little girl saying, I don't even know him. Now, all of a sudden, Peter's preaching. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened in just a minute. And we are his witnesses of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hung on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Amen. Not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. Look at this. Who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. That's what happened. Peter cussed the girl out. They resurrected. The lady said, go tell the disciples and Peter. It's resurrected. Peter said, we ate and we drank with him after he resurrected. It's powerful. Acts 1 and 3, make a note. It said Jesus was, before he ascended up, after he resurrected, he was around for 40 days. Jesus was here for 40 days after he resurrected. And Peter saying during those 40 days, he said he talked to him about the kingdom of God and what to do. And Jesus and Peter said, we ate and we drank with him. So I guess when we transition to heaven, I guess we can eat and drink if we want to, because Jesus did. Amen. Now make a note, too. They recognized him, too. So it lets us know it's some kind of way we're going to be able to recognize each other. Amen. And that's going to be the sad part. We're going to be looking for folks that ain't going to be there. Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, this is just the word. That's why you don't want your worst enemy to spend time in that lake of fire. All right, let me finish this up. All right. Look what he told him in verse 42. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. So Jesus is going to judge those that are alive. The quick means alive in Greek. And then after we die, we're going to be judged too. So it's going to be judged what we do here. And we're going to be judged when we stand before God. So I was just thinking about the video of the quick of our life. And we hope that some kind of way when that video starts, it just gets messed up with blood covered all over. And Jesus, the judge, says it's covered. It's nothing on there. It's all been covered by the blood. Everything. Oh, God, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. Hey, and I tell you this. I remember, was that me and you, Sister Miller, at jury duty when I saw you that time? Now, when I saw you that time, I left. I got out of that time, though. All right. But they called me the next time. And so when I walked into the room, I knew the lawyer. Mm-hmm. And so they had to say, well, you know, you got to. When we walk in the room, we're going to know the judge. And if you know the judge, if you spend, he can't help but rule in your favor. We're going to walk in there. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to be a little shaken a little bit, but we're going to. But we know it's not going to be like, I don't even know this. Man, I know. Jeez. Remember? I was serious about all that. Okay. If you walk into the jury room, the courtroom, and you know the judge or a lawyer and you're being a potential juror, they got to let you go because it's going to be, it's favoritism, they would say. We know the judge. When we transition, we're going to stand before Christ. We know the judge, favoritism, hallelujah. Covered by the blood, authenticated. Remember, the Holy Spirit puts a stamp on us, puts a seal, puts a tattoo, puts an authentication code. They're going to test that code. It's authenticated. Oh, you come on in. Hallelujah. This is what Peter is telling them. That Jesus is going to judge. Look at verse 43. To him gave all the prophets witness. So from Abraham to John the Baptist, they all talked about Jesus Christ. Gosh. God's been setting this thing up since the beginning of time. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever trusts in him shall receive forgiveness of their sins. And then look what happens immediately. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They all in that house. And I bet they say, Cornelius, man, thank you so much for inviting me over. What a friend. It's two places you go that you always are glad that you went. You already know what they are. The church and the gym. Somebody say amen. You don't feel like going, but you get there and the word is you came. I'm so glad I came today. They were so glad they went to Cornelius's house. His relatives and his close friends got saved. Look at verse 45. I'll go ahead and just, I won't unpack this. I'll unpack it another time, but we'll, I said I won't unpack it. Okay. All right. Verse 45, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. Remember, Peter had some that came with him, because that the Gentiles, the common folk, the folk we don't even want to have nothing to do with, the folk we said are common and unclean, was poured out the gift, underline it's the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it comes from God, and you can't earn it, and you can't buy it. You have to trust God, trust Christ in your heart, and you get the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed, hey, Peter, can you just hang out with us for a few days? Because, you know, man, it is so good. It's like, dude, we want to hear more about this Jesus cat. But then make a note that they received the Holy Ghost first. And then they were baptized. And you got all kind of doctrines that you got to be baptized to be saved. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost and all. But right here, we see that he spoke to them and the Holy Ghost fell. This is what the word says. Make a note in Acts 8:17. It says that they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. So it's not one way. God's not in a box that you got to do this, that, the other. Most of us, if we think about when we were saved, when we accepted Christ into our heart, if I went around the room, everybody's experience would be different. Same God, different experience. The thing was, we surrendered and we invited Christ in, and the Holy Spirit came in with Christ. All right, let me finish like this. Look at 11. JL, take us to Acts 11 and what else? 11:15. Because they kind of got upset. The other Jews were like, You know, we thought this was an exclusive good old boys club. No, you're wrong. This is God. This is a God thing. It's not a man thing. Make a note that being a Christian is not an exclusive good old boys club. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter's telling us when he gets back, the other Jews are going, man, we heard all this stuff went down. And Peter said, hold up, hold up. Verse 15, as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as it did to us on the beginning. Then remember I the word of the Lord, how he said that John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much, I love this, family, get this, especially verse 18. For as much then as God gave them the like gift, underlying gift, as he did unto us. You can't earn this thing who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand God? I'm going to tell God he can't save folks. I can tell God those folks are so jacked up they don't need to be saved. Are you serious? Like you got it all together? How you going to tell God I ain't going to pray for them because they might get saved? Are you serious? Verse 18. When they heard these things, they shut their mouth and glorify God. Amen. See, if we all practice the scriptures, it would end racism and all that other kind of stuff. We know everybody can be saved. We're praying for everybody. We're not complaining. And then folks make their choice. And when they stand before God, they'll be without excuse. But we shouldn't be discriminating against anybody because of any reason. We should be trying to preach the gospel as Jesus. Verse 42, he said, he commanded us to preach unto the people. That's 10:42. He commanded. He didn't suggest. He didn't say, if you feel like it, he commanded them to preach. Let me finish with 11:18. When they heard these things, they shut their mouth and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Oh my gosh. God is allowing anybody to be saved that chooses to accept Christ into their heart. It's the best news I've heard in a long time. So now, family, as we take communion, now we go back. Now we got to do the prequel. We got to rewind this thing. JL, 1 Corinthians 11:23. We get back to the night in which Christ was betrayed and he gave thanks. All set up from the beginning. I love God for that. Family, and just know that God is setting your life up. He's been setting it up from the beginning. God is asking us to stay close to him. He's telling us to keep a biblical worldview. That's why we take communion. Because it seems like it all could be falling apart. And God says, bring it back in. Don't forget your mission. Don't forget the Great Commission. Keep praying. Keep fasting daily. Keep praying for folks. Watch God work out the details. Trust God 100%. The more we pray and fast, the less we will complain. I was telling my board in the board meeting last week, that's B-O-A-R-D, not B-O-R-E-D, but depends on who you talk to. But I told them, I want a board that doesn't complain about anything. Because we trust God with everything. So I'll put that on you too, church. We don't complain about anything. We trust. I mean, we talk and we discuss and we don't complain about anything because we're a church that trusts God with everything. When I complain, I'm just telling God, God, you don't know what you're doing, and I can do it better. I've really been watching myself. God, help me not to complain about anything, but trust you with everything. So as we take communion, it says, on the night in which Christ was betrayed, he gave thanks. Even when Christ was betrayed, he set the model, he set the example. He gave thanks. God, help us, even in the toughest times, to still give thanks unto you. He gave thanks and he told them to eat. Eat the bread which represents my body. Paul says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had drank, saying, 'This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes.'" So brothers, pass out the sacraments. And family, I want you to focus in on forgiveness. Just like Christ forgave us. If it's anybody now, Lord, that we're holding on to, that we need to forgive, God, just like you forgave us, God, we got to let them go. And God, we need to pray for them now.